This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Gwen and Chris program, talking Padres baseball, joined by the Padres' great pitching coach, Darren Balsley. Nice enough to spend a little time with us from Phoenix, where the Padres will play the Diamondbacks tonight. Darren, I wanted to start off by asking, what has been your general message to the three kids who have all made their major league debuts this year, all of whom have been incredibly successful?
Yeah, you know, I've kind of learned their personalities, and my general message has become different than I thought it would be, just because our minor league development people and just these kids' personalities in general, they don't spook off, they don't scare. Huh. So they've handled it really well. I mean, you know, rookie debuts, opening day in St. Louis, you know, some pretty good offensive teams we faced already. They show a healthy respect to major league hitters. They're in the big leagues for the first time. But there's never really been that moment thus far that I've made a mound visit or spoken to them in the dugout where I've seen fear. And that's a healthy thing. There's a plenty of respect, like I said, but they are handling everything extremely well. And basically my approach has been to remind them why they are pitching well and why they're keeping us in games. It's because they're competing well, and the actual major league atmosphere is not overwhelming to them right now. So that's a credit to them.
That's fantastic. I mean, because honestly, you probably did expect that you'd have to try to at least calm them down a little and relax everybody, but they've just looked relaxed. They've all looked like they belong there, just kind of like Eric Lauer did on opening day. It looked like the perfect choice. He was relaxed, comfortable, pitched a really good game.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm a huge NFL fan, and I could kind of compare it to a stud young quarterback that, you know, is loaded with talent, but you're kind of expecting ups and downs and rookie type mistakes and throwing across your body across the field where you're not supposed to. And these guys thus far haven't done any of that. Really, they're approaching it the right way. They're not trying to do too much. I'm sure that situation's going to pop up since they are young, and it happens to veterans also. But so far, so good. It's been a blast for me to watch these young kids go out and compete. And they are meshing in with our veterans very, very well. I mean, our veterans have accepted them, and they know they're going to give us a chance to win baseball games.
They are doing just that. Darren Balsley joining us on the SDCCU fan hotline. And I understand Tony Gwynn Jr. is with us as well. Sir, jump in there and throw a question at Mr. Balsley.
First of all, Darren, how are you doing today, brother?
Nice, T. Good to hear from you, man. One of the best center fielders ever to roam center field in Petco Park.
Wow, that's pretty nice.
He says this every time I run into him. Thank you for the compliment.
Truth, man.
I appreciate it.
It's absolute truth.
I want to ask you a little bit. You guys were talking about how well the young guys have really handled the early portion of this season. And being that they're young, there's a lot of, they haven't had a lot of innings, you know, throughout the course of a season. How are you planning to manage the fact that with such a young staff and not a lot of experience, how are you planning to manage their innings throughout the course of the year?
Yeah, we're going to, you know, Tony, we have good depth in our minor leagues. There's going to be times when guys, you know, they have options, they go back and forth. There's going to be times when we push them back and have a spot starter like we did yesterday.
Yeah, because everybody, by the way, everybody freaked out when the Paddock wasn't starting yesterday's game. Before the news came out why it was happening, everybody's asking, are they hurt? Is Matt Strom hurt? and so I thought I'd ask you so we can kind of calm everybody's nerves here in San Diego.
Yeah, man, that's going to happen on occasion. And you know, we're fortunate coming up here. We have a stretch where we have a couple off days in the next 10 days or so. So we're not going to have to do that. They're going to be able to get their extra rest just because of the off days. But we're going to have to watch that and monitor it without pampering them and babying them. You know, right. If a kid's throwing a gym, we're going to leave them out there. But, you know, we watch their pitch counts. Their bullpens are structured in a way that they're not overworked, but it's good. It's quality work. And these kids are mature, like I was saying. So I get feedback from them if they're dragging a little bit, if they're a little sore, a little tired. They've been truthful so far, so I can back off their workload or add to it according to how they feel. So with the intellect and how well these guys compete, I don't, and how honest they are, we're going to have to be a little bit different, but so far so good, and that's the way it's working.
No question about it. Darren Balsley working his magic with the Padres young pitching staff. Real quick, Darren, let me ask you about the bullpen. And just led by Kirby Yates, but also anchored with Craig Stammen. And then Trey Wingenter gets in there last night, gets his first save. Stock has been good, a little more inconsistent than the others. But the point being, these guys are really doing a great bit of work down there because the starters are mostly going 5-6 innings.
Yeah, correct. And, you know, it's not ideal. We'd like our starters to go 6 to 8,
right.
But it's just what happened. You know, we've had a few games where we've had to pinch hit for them early when they were throwing well. So had it all been there, you know, as far as the pitch count goes and stuff like that, some of them could have went a few more innings, but we want to win baseball games. And when you have Hunter Renfro sitting on the bench in the sixth and it's time for Nick Margavich to hit, you'd probably rather have Hunter go up there and hit a pinch hit bomb. So those situations have come up a few times, but to get back to what you're saying, yeah, our pen has been fantastic so far. I don't know what the numbers reflect. We had a little bit of a setback last night. D-backs came back, and in my opinion, sometimes you got to tip your cap to the opposition, put together some good ABs and their major league players. So, you know, we've come back this season on a few occasions, and they did it to us last night. But all in all, the veteran leadership we have down there, and Stammen, Yates, I'm sure I'm leaving somebody out, and I wish I wasn't, but those two guys lead that bullpen down there and make sure the guys are doing their work. They're a unit, a steady unit, and they're tight. And for me, that's the most important thing you can have as a bullpen, their togetherness and awareness of who may need to pitch that night and who's going to need to step it up that night to pick up the rest of the pen. They're aware of all those things, so. So far, so couldn't be more proud of those guys, and that's expected out of our pen. I think, as you both know, throughout the years, at least since I've been here, one of our huge strengths has been the bullpen and been that unity. And I'll start with Trevor Hoffman teaching guys how to be that way, and it keeps rolling and keeps transferring to the next generation and next group.
Now, how does that happen, Darren? I mean, it's new faces, different personalities, but yet throughout the troubled time of this organization, the bullpen has always been solid. What do you attest that to?
Well, talent, first of all, Tony. I mean, you need talent to play this game, but I still go on the Trevor thing, man, because he's still around, and he's able to communicate with these guys in spring training. He's still, you know, he's around the ballpark. I make sure I steer some of our guys towards Trev when he's around and when he's available, just to relay things that he and his Trevor's bullpen's used to do. Yeah. I've had fantastic bullpen coaches over the years who have done a great job for me. Had four of them, and they've all done a fantastic job. We're on the same page. But honestly, we've been fortunate just to have those personalities come into our organization and be those type of guys. I think our front office has done a great job in gathering those type of people and being aware of who may be resurrected here as a Padre. And knock on wood, it's worked throughout the years. So we've been a little bit fortunate, but the hard work put into finding these guys and just the unity of the pen themselves and their personalities has been their strength.
I'll be the one to say that the one constant also has been the fact that Darren Balsley has been in charge
like
of all these guys. So
out of there, Darren.
We
got to
mention that at least there. Hey, Darren, thanks for the time. Know you're busy. Got to get ready for the game tonight. Best of luck. Keep it going with these young kids. It's been, like you said, it's really been a joy to watch this. Yeah. Lots of fun, and I hope for continued success. Thanks for joining us.
See you, Darren.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on. See you, man.
You betcha. There he is, Darren Balsley, the Padres pitching coach, on the SDCCU fan hotline. Nominate SDCCU Best Credit Union in the Union Tribune Readers Poll daily at sdccu.com/nominate. San Diego County's Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It's better.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right now, though, talking some baseball with a guy who knows a whole lot about it, Danny Nobler. Bleacher Report joins us here on Gwynn and Chris here on 97.3 The Fan. Danny, how are you today?
Hey, guys. And I like to think I know a little bit about losing teams, too. I cover the Tigers through 106, 109, and 119 lost season. So I want a little bit of credit there.
Goodness. Well, Uncle Teddy though, gets credit for, he also gets credit not just for the Padres, but he's the broadcaster for the San Diego State Aztecs.
Right.
And they had some lean seasons as well. And
I understand. Well, I'm happy that he's getting it. We'll see how long it lasts. Hopefully it goes on. But I'm glad he's getting some excitement to watch early on this year.
Sure. What do you think about it, Danny? I mean, just on the general thought with the Padres. I mean, look, we're very excited at what's happened right now. We're not silly enough to think that 14 games means a season. But it's pretty obvious that the rebuild that they have put into play here in San Diego is starting to bear some fruit, if nothing else. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would definitely say that. And I would say that in the last year, 2 years, I would say especially last year, when I talked to scouts from other organizations, they all said the Padres have talent coming. And I know when I talk to people in San Diego, Padres people, you know, people who follow the Padres, people said, yeah, well, we've heard that before. We'll see
right.
where that's going to go. But these were, you know, independent voices that were saying it was going to get better. And obviously, when you then go out and add someone like Manny Machado, a talent like that, to a group that already has some really good up-and-coming young talent, and you bring in a guy like Tatis, who you get to the big leagues, you should get better. You're supposed to get better. Now, I think everybody from outside, at least, maybe even inside, looked at the Padres this year and wondered, okay, it's going to get better, but is their pitching going to be enough,
right?
Even if those young players perform? And I think, obviously, as you said, we're really early in the season. That's still to be determined. But it wouldn't be unheard of. We've seen it enough, especially in recent years in baseball. We've seen young teams that get on a little bit of a roll and start winning. And all of a sudden they keep winning. So it's not a surprise that a young team can get going. And sometimes the best thing that happens is they do get going early in the year because they start to believe they can win.
That's right. Danny, I want to ask you a little bit about your book, Unwritten: Bat Flips, The Fun Police, and Baseball's New Future. When you were doing this book, was there anything that you learned that maybe you didn't know about these rules and how they're applied, or maybe how they've changed over time?
I think that what the biggest thing is how things have changed. I think I knew a lot of it. Some of the things that I wrote about that I heard about individual stories I didn't know before. I was very interested. I talked to a lot of different people for it, but. And a lot of people were very giving with their time and opinions and stories about it. And one of the stories I like to tell, I told it on MLB Network yesterday, was about Kenley Jansen from the Dodgers.
Oh, yeah.
And when we talked, I've talked to him quite a few times. I like talking to him. And when we talked about what he learned growing up, you know, in the islands and then coming and playing first as a minor league catcher and then as a pitcher, and also how he approaches things now. And one of the things Kenley Jansen said is he doesn't believe in throwing at hitters for retaliation. And he said if a hitter hits a home run off him, they can celebrate any way they want. And he said, you know what? It doesn't matter how he celebrates because he's already on my list.
Right.
On your list. And he said, yeah, because I want to strike him out the next time I face him. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was perfect. You know, why should you worry about a guy celebrating a home run? If you know, Derek Dietrich last week admiring a home run. Get him the next time, and then you can celebrate and do whatever you want. And if
exactly.
you don't want, and if it's not in your personality to celebrate, just have the inner satisfaction
right.
that you got him, and you got him back after he got you. And I watched a video last year, which I thought was really well done. Dennis Eckersley and Kirk Gibson spoke. They were both. It was on NESN and Fox Sports Detroit. They were doing commentary on a Tigers Red Sox game, and they taped the interview before, just the two of them. And about the home run. And Gibson said that ever since then, he always worried that he had shown up Eckersley with the way he went around the bases.
Really?
And Eckersley said, no. He said, you're on top of the world. I'm on bottom of the world at that point. You should be able to show that. You should be. And, of course, Eck, as you, I'm sure, remember.
Right.
Was a guy
he was one of the starters of that.
Exactly. But Eck felt the same way. He felt, look, if you get me, you should be able to show me up a little bit, you know, in the right way.
Right.
And I think the way it goes is it's not a matter of doing something that's going to offend people.
Right.
It's a matter of making it about yourself and about how you what you just accomplished. And some guys, you know, that's not what you want to do anyway.
Right.
I talked to Chris Bryant, and Chris Bryant. Talk to him about that, and he's someone who never bat flips. But he doesn't mind seeing Javier Baez do it for his own team or someone on another team do it. He said, you have to, he said, but it's part of Javi's personality. He said, it's not part of mine.
Right.
He said, I can't be someone I'm not, and he can't be someone he's not. And I think
that's another
really good way to look at it.
That's where the lines have been blurred over time is one guy who might perceive it as being a show up to the next guy who doesn't. And the lines have gotten blurred. It's no longer about celebrating what you've done. I think people are taking it as you're trying to make me look bad out here. And I think that's why you have so many different viewpoints on, you know, these unwritten rules as far as home runs and showing you up and bat flips and all of that.
Exactly. I agree with that completely. And that's always going to be true to some extent.
Certainly,
and one thing I've told people is, look, one of the things, everybody pretty much agrees that the big thing to do is to respect the game, respect your opponent, respect your teammates. The difference is in how we interpret that,
in what
might be seen as a sign of disrespect. And if I think everybody wants to show a little bit. No, maybe not everybody, but most players do. Now, they don't always agree. What Derek Dietrich saw as just a normal celebration, a normal just feeling good about hitting the ball as far as he did, Chris Archer obviously saw as a sign of disrespect. Now, I think in today's game, probably more people come down on Dietrich's side than on Archer's, but that's you know, that's some ways the way the game is changing, but it's not going to change completely. There's managers who feel like their pitchers should never retaliate. Torrey Lovello feels that way. There's other managers who feel like you have to be part of a team and stick up for your team. And while they don't necessarily condone throwing at someone to try in thinking about injuring them, they do believe in sticking up for the rest of your team, and that's part of the way the game does it. Dave Roberts is one like that.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone is going to have their own opinions on it. And what the unwritten rules basically are is whatever, at the time, the general consensus is in baseball on what is right and what is wrong.
Well said.
Very interesting stuff. Danny Nobler has the book out, Unwritten Rules in Major League Baseball. It's called Bat Flips, The Fun Police and Baseball's New Future. Danny, got a couple of minutes left here. I want to go back to, I don't know, maybe it's the 30s, the 40s, the 50s. When did all of the unwritten rules get written? And how did they all get written? You know, because we go back to a certain age where it was totally accepted to do anything like a Gibson and a Drysdale and people like that back in that
era.
Well, it wasn't.
It was accepted, you're right. It was accepted to try to intimidate or throw inside or throw at someone just because they got a hit off you.
Yeah.
But that was part of the those were the unwritten rules of that era.
Right.
The unwritten rules of each era change as those players change and as beliefs in society even change. One of the things that has changed greatly about Major League Baseball is the globalization of the game. So what we get now is players coming from different cultures. And certainly Major League Baseball, I don't think it's ever going to look either like Japanese baseball or like Winter League Baseball in the Dominican Republic. But
yeah, completely two different spectrums, right?
Absolutely. But because we have players from both those places, there are influences from those. And some of the things you saw in both those games, you see parts of those coming into Major League Baseball along with those players. So, and the game will always keep developing, and the unwritten rules will always keep changing over time.
Oh, wow. I'm getting this book.
Fun and fascinating. Definitely fun and fascinating. Danny Nobler from Bleacher Report. Thanks. I wish we had a little more time, Danny, but appreciate you joining us. Good stuff, and we will get a copy of this book, and I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for your time. Good luck with everything.
Thanks, Danny.
Thanks so much for having me. Great talking to you guys.
You betcha.
And
that's Danny. Yeah, exactly. Danny Nobler, new Padre fan from Bleacher Report there, joining us on the SDCCU fan hotline. And, of course, you can nominate SDCCU Best Credit Union in the Union Tribune Readers Poll daily at sdccu.com/nominate. San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It's better.
Better.
Better!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What the heck?
Sometimes there's just not enough time in the day to talk all the sports we want.
I feel reborn. I'm like a phoenix.
Settle in and saddle up. The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
The NBA MVP. Oh, wait. Thomas, let's get to number five. I caught myself. The NBA MVP this year is not going to be very easy to decide because some think it could go to Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo, and some
Atta
think
boy.
It, thank you. I did you hear me pause? Like, I don't know if I should do this. Antetokounmpo, and some think it should go to the Rockets' James Harden. Well, Rick Barry joined Dan Celia this morning and was asked who should win the MVP, and here's what he said.
Well, as I told you before, it's insane that they have an MVP for the entire league. It should be an MVP of each conference, and there should be a most outstanding player in each conference. And there would be different players that you would choose for those awards. You know, it could be Harden. It could be, Westbrook from Thunder, as far as the most outstanding player, most valuable player, I think, in the Eastern Conference, without question, would have to be Giannis. I mean, I think that goes without saying. And I think if you're going the most valuable player in the Western Conference, I think the most valuable player, to me, would be Steph Curry. And the most outstanding player would be either Harden or Westbrook. So I wish that they would get to that point. It just makes no sense when you have an uneven schedule to go ahead and make those decisions. But as far as Milwaukee goes, I don't know if Giannis is going to be able to do it if they don't get everybody by Kelce. They can, go one of their guards. It's a heck of a player that's out. They've got other people who are hurt right now. So it remains to be seen what's going to happen with that team. Unfortunately, they're not 100% healthy.
All right, that was Rick Barry on with Dan Celio this morning. So
Rick
Chris,
Barry's a character.
He is.
What's his face? Russell Westbrook?
I feel like I've done that before, so I won't judge him.
Me too. That was funny. Definitely me too. All right, Chris, do you think there should be an opportunity for two guys to win MVP in the NBA?
I don't feel as strongly about that as I do about the fact that it's time for Major League Baseball to start keeping statistics for players that change leagues and not starting over in the middle of the season on their numbers.
Preach to him, Chris.
Did I explain that properly?
Yes, you did.
Like last
year
when Manny Machado went from Baltimore to the Dodgers, he all of a sudden had no home runs and no RBIs.
He didn't do anything all season.
And that was ridiculous. It's the same league. They play each other now.
Right.
You don't have to start the guy's record over because you change leagues in baseball. So that's the change that I think needs to be made. As far as the NBA is concerned, I don't feel as strongly about it as Rick Barry. I think it's an interesting concept. It would be more publicity for the league if you had two winners. But I can get behind just one winner of the MVP award with no problem.
Tony, what do you think?
I hadn't really thought about it. That hadn't even crossed my mind ever. But now that I heard Rick Barry bring it up, I don't think it's a bad idea. I really don't. I mean, especially in a year like this where two guys have just been remarkable all season long. It would really make it easier on the voters from that standpoint.
Oh, for sure, yeah. It'd let everybody off the hook this year.
But
there's going to be years where you have two guys from the Eastern Conference. So.
Right, and that's what I was getting ready to get at. There will be years in which the guys are in the same conference, and it's going to be equally as hard. So I'm okay with the one MVP for the league. I think it produced it. What it does is it makes other guys who felt like they should have won it step their game up the next year. And I think that's why we've seen Harden really excel. Well, after he lost that comeback law, or he had that comeback, or Westbrook came back and took the MVP from him that first year, Harden's been on a mission ever since. And I think that's in part because he lost out. Now, if we had two different divisions, maybe that's not the case.
Got
two different MVPs.
Yeah, good stuff. I'm still pretty proud of myself for saying Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo.
Number four.
So five NBA teams finished the 2018-19 season over the luxury tax maximum. Here they are. I'm going to tell you how much over they finished and what they're going to have to pay the NBA for their fee. So the Warriors were the most over with $21 million over the cap, and they're going to pay a $51 million fee. OKC is $19 million over the cap, and they're going to pay $61 million. And the reason that they're being taxed more is because they're repeat offenders.
Repeat offenders,
yes,
sir.
And next year, if Golden State goes over that, they'll be repeat offenders as well. Then it goes to the Toronto Raptors, $13 million, and they're paying a $24 million fee. The Trailblazers, $9 million over the cap and $15 million fee. And the last team is Boston. They are $1.7 million over the cap and $3.8 million in fees that they have to pay. So, Tony, which team is this a bad deal for? Who didn't get what they thought they were going to get knowing they're going to pay the tax?
Oh, man, you got to name the teams again.
Golden State, Oklahoma City, Toronto, Portland, and Boston.
Boston, probably.
Yeah.
But you could argue that they all got what they wanted. I mean, they're all have a chance to compete for a championship. I like this rule. It makes it interesting because, you know, even though this rule was probably put in effect because of the team that I love the most, the Lakers, Golden State is an interesting case in this because they're going to have to go over and be repeat offenders if they're going to re-sign Klay Thompson and KD. So I like this rule. What it does is it keeps the parity. It keeps some parity in the league at least. Doesn't allow teams to just continue to go out and sign whoever they want to. They got to think about it and if they don't want to have that luxury tax. And most owners don't want that luxury tax. Trust me. So I think it's Boston, though. Boston's a team out of those five that you named.
Yes.
Probably didn't get everything out of it that they hoped.
Chris, what do you think?
I think that teams like the Chicago Bulls got the least for their money. I don't know what they spent, but they have such a bad team. And I think if you've got four or five teams that are over the luxury tax, and as Tony said, they're all very good teams.
Yeah.
I think everybody ought to be pushing that luxury tax to try and compete. I don't like the fact that there's a... Because you said that it helps keep a little parity. I will say it keeps a little parity, Tony. But of all of the sports, I think the NBA has the biggest gap between the top and the bottom. I mean, when you look at the Golden State Warriors versus who's the 30th best team, the Knicks, the Cavs, the Bulls, whatever you got, Suns, the difference on these teams is like a mile and a half apart. So
the
why
Bulls,
not spend what?
The Bulls, their total cap space for 2018-19, or total cap, was $112,014,084. And then they're $10 million under the cap.
They're $10 million. Well, you know what? $10 million wouldn't have gotten them into the playoffs, so they might as well stay under. But I think the NBA, every team should be pushing that cap. That's what I'd like to see, to be honest with you. But I don't think any of the five teams you named got a bad deal because they're all right there with a chance to win.
Good
right,
point.
That's why it was hard for me to pick one at first because they're all at the very, they're like nobody's lower than.
I'm a little surprised Portland's there, and you know I wouldn't have expected Portland to be on that list.
Yeah, OKC's the lowest. Reason. OKC's the lowest seed out of the five you named. There are six seeds, but they could very well get to the conference final. So
yep.
That's basketball's one of those sports where I don't know if you'll ever get the kind of parity that we're looking for that we get in the other sports because one player can mean that much in a particular
That's
game.
Exactly right.
Number three.
A big NFL extension happened today. Vikings wide receiver Adam Thielen has evolved into one of the best receivers in the league, and he's about to be paid like one because he agreed to a four-year extension worth $64 million and a maximum of $73 million. Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network reported the deal comes with $35 million in guarantees, and the team confirmed that the two sides have agreed in principle on this. Thielen was actually set to enter his final 2 years of his contract, which paid base salaries of $5.8 million and $5.3 million in 2020. He now has a lot more going on than that, but he's only going to carry a cap hit of $8.1 million next year. Thielen produced 100-yard receiving efforts in eight straight games to start the season last year, which was an NFL record. So, Chris, here are the top three paid wide receivers, and I don't have my link. It's Odell Beckham Jr. I have no idea where it went.
This is why we love the Big Five.
Oh, here it is.
Stuff like this happens every day.
No, it's right here. So Mike Evans is taking the top spot in 2019 with a $20 million cap hit. Then Sammy Watkins, wow, at $19.2 million. Then you got Odell Beckham Jr. at $17 million. So those are the top three paid wide receivers in 2019. Chris, is Adam Thielen worth more than them?
He's certainly worth more than Sammy Watkins.
Yeah,
I'm worth more than Sammy Watkins, for heaven's sakes. You know, these are interesting questions, but I think it comes down to a lot of times when you sign your contract, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
You know, Julio Jones is probably considered the best guy in the league, so he make the most until Antonio Brown's turn comes up, then he would make the most. And you know, when Mike Evans comes up, then he'd make the most, or DeAndre Hopkins would make the most. So all I could say is, does Thielen deserve more than those guys? I just think he deserves to be recognized and paid as one of the top receivers in the league, which he is.
Here's another guy on the list real quick before we go to you, Tony. Allen Robinson is sixth at $15 million. That's brutal. So, Tony, what do you think? Do you think he's...
That's brutal.
It is brutal. Do you think he's Adam Thielen is worth more than these guys in the top three?
Yep, I do. I enjoy watching Adam Thielen do his thing. He's got the co-sign from Randy Moss, too. He's gone out and gone from, what, their third receiver to their number one receiver.
Oh, yeah.
I like it. I like everything about Adam Thielen and his rise. And he should be. He should be talked about amongst some of the better wide receivers in the league, for sure.
Number two.
All right, well, I have to get through these kind of quick, but the college gymnast is asking social media to stop sharing the video of her devastating leg injuries. Have you guys seen this? It was unfortunate. An Auburn senior, Samantha Cirio, wrote on Twitter yesterday that seeing her, quote, knees bent unnaturally in real life was horrible enough. Are you guys familiar with the video I'm talking about?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so she actually injured both of her legs, had a very serious injury to both of them, and then retired the next day because it looks like she's not going to be able to compete again. And she says that she doesn't like that people are allowed to repost her injury over and over and over for everyone to see. So, Tony, do you think social media platforms should try to ban injury videos from being shared?
I think social media platforms need a lot of work, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I mean, the fact that we can see people lose their life on video,
yeah.
Like, I'm not cool with that. I'm not cool with that. Injuries, listen, I think, I don't know if I'm just desensitized to actual injuries because we've seen so many of them. You guys know my theory. I don't watch instant replays on any injury because it doesn't sit well with me. I don't like watching people's bodies moving places the way they're not supposed to. So I feel her pain, but no pun intended. I feel that, but ultimately there are a lot of other people dealing with the same issue. It's going to take more than her voice, I think, to get that move. But I do think social media platforms have to find some regulation on these videos. It's getting a little ridiculous.
What do you think, Chris?
Tony said it very well.
You did.
You know, I don't have a lot to add to it other than the fact that, you know, this is the nature of the world we live in now.
Yeah.
And if you do something, this video's popped up on my Twitter feed and Facebook.
This specific video of Auburn?
At least like 20 times.
Yeah.
And I've just
Me too.
Passed right by it every
I
single
have too,
time.
Man. I haven't looked at it.
Yeah, I really don't need to see it. But, you know, so there's that part of it to anybody who's offended. But I can understand the gal herself not wanting this to be seen, but it happened. And there are a lot of people who love to look at car wrecks and keep looking at them. So I don't know how you're going to regulate it.
And it wasn't like someone was filming from the sidelines. It happened on a broadcast, like a gymnastics tournament.
Yeah, they're probably SEC network or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. So it wasn't like it was someone in the stands, but all right.
And believe me, the network that broadcast that probably are the ones that sent it out all over the place.
100%.
150
click,
times.
Click, 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 click.
Yep.
Number one.
Former San Francisco 49ers linebacker Reuben Foster will not be suspended by the NFL for his most recent off-the-field incident in November, according to J.P. Finley of NBC Sports. He will, however, be fined 2 game checks, but not suspended. I didn't know you could do that. So pretty much he's going to be able to play
for
free.
The rules. You didn't know the NFL makes up the rules as they go?
He's going to be able to play for free, pretty much, is what I'm getting from that. But he was arrested. Reuben Foster was arrested on a domestic violence charge in Tampa, Florida, the night before a regular season game against the Buccaneers. And the 49ers had enough, and they waived him that day after he proved that he showed poor judgment in off-the-field decisions. Then the Redskins picked him up, bracing for some sort of suspension. So now the Redskins have a very good player, and he's not going to be missing any games for them at all. So, Chris, should the NFL – this is a Scraby question – should the NFL have suspended him? Yeah. Should the NFL have suspended him to protect him from himself?
I love Scraby questions.
I can hear your knee hitting the desk right now.
No, it's not hitting the desk. It's my hand hitting my head over and over again. Like,
I mean,
what is he talking about?
It's the same. Reuben Foster got in trouble both times with the same girl, and it's still continuing to get. He's still continuing to get out of it.
Reuben Foster is in the category, in my category anyway, of people that are guilty until proven innocent. He's kind of earned that just based on his repeated poor behavior. And you say he's going to get to play for the Redskins without missing any games. Don't be so sure. He might get caught up doing something else before the season starts. The Redskins are certainly taking their share of a chance here to bring him in. And, you know, so should the NFL suspend him to – I don't think anything that can protect that guy from himself.
Tony, what do you think? You got about 45 seconds.
Okay, 45 seconds. You guys know I'm big on second chances, third chances sometimes. But when you make a mistake, there is a period of time that you got to go with no mistakes so that, you know, people can start to believe that you are changed. Reuben Foster has not exceeded that time limit by any means. So, yes, the NFL should have probably suspended him for a few games, for these few game checks that he's going to miss anyway. So, you know, the NFL makes up rules as it goes, so this is not surprising to me.
All right, guys. Good Big Five to close
That's
out the week.
For the Big Five from Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
It was an okay Big Five, Scraby. Don't get too full of yourself.
Whoa!
Well, I mean, who gets to announce that it was a great Big Five when it's your own segment?
Me.
Right. How would we have felt if Darren Balsley was like, yeah, of course the pitching staff, the bullpen's been great because of me.
Yeah. You guys would have been like, cool.
I'm Darren Balsley, pitching coach of the San Diego Padres. My interview with Gwynn and Chris is fantastic, so make sure you listen to it in the 5 o'clock hour today.
Just speaking the truth. Speaking into existence, I can't even say the word.
Tony, all right, have a great broadcast tonight. I'm going to listen. You and Teddy, it's going to be fantastic. And I'll get through the rest of the show. You go ahead and prepare, get ready, and we'll talk to you a little later.
All right, brother. I'll see you Monday.
There goes Tony Gwynn Jr. to get ready to broadcast tonight's game. Chris Ello, we are coming back with more Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Time right now to be joined by a man who'd love to see an Aztec win the Masters. A man who loves the fact that his San Diego Padres are in first place. Brought to us by Lolita's Mexican Restaurant, serving San Diego's finest Mexican food since 1984. It's the coach, John Quintero. Coach, what's going on? Did you sleep last night, or were you just so excited that you were too restless being in first place all by your lonesome?
Let's put it this way. I stayed up a little bit later last night than I normally do.
Yeah.
You got pretty fired up, and I told every one of my neighbors that was out and about today, hey, did you watch the Padre game last night? They're in first place. And some people looked at me and said, yeah, but it's early. I go, it doesn't matter. They're in first place. They're a game up, and they got an opportunity to do some damage tonight, so make sure you tune in.
That's the whole idea of this, coach, right now. We understand it's early, but to not enjoy what is happening with the Padres is to be missing out on some fun stuff right now, right?
Well, there's no question about it. I mean, they're playing good. I mean, last night, you talk about having some intestinal fortitude. They're up 6-1. All of a sudden, things go awry. And normally in the past, we've seen the Padres, especially in Arizona, Chris. I mean, they give up a big lead. They usually end up getting beat or trounced in the last couple of innings. They find a way to get it done last night. Manny Margot hits that home run. I mean, I like a lot of the things I'm seeing right now. And how about Avila last night making his major league debut after that first inning? He was absolutely fantastic.
Retired 12 in a row and kind of just matched what Chris Paddock and Nick Margavich just did before him. Tonight, Paddock throws for the Padres. But this is our Lolita's High School Spotlight segment, Coach. Time to talk a little high school sports and talking about baseball. Getting into this deep into this high school baseball season, what do you have for us this week?
Well, Chris, you know, I'll tell you, I think in the county the best matchup this week was Poway and Rancho Bernardo, and they split their two games. Rancho Bernardo came back after losing earlier in the week to Poway. They won yesterday, and they're going to play. I think the final game of that series will be on May 7th. So that very well may decide their league title. But, you know, the real big news in high school right now is a lot of athletes, primarily in football, transferring. There was a big story yesterday that Lincoln High was the recipient of getting three transfers, one from Eastlake, one from Westview, and the other from San Marcos. And, you know, I'm not pointing a finger at Lincoln. I think anytime you have a good program, you're going to get athletes that are going to want to transfer in there for a variety of different reasons. But, you know, the one thing that I would say, and I've seen this trend in all sports, it's just not football. It's definitely in basketball, baseball, a lot of the club sports, because kids are playing with other kids from other areas. They get to be friends and, hey, come to my high school, and then they transfer. And, of course, if they're transferring without their parents, you know, getting a job or moving into that area legally, the kids have to sit out for 30 days, but, you know, there's also rules that allow kids to transfer without having to sit out. And you could talk to Jerry Schneep about all the particulars on that. But, you know, I think that the big thing that people have to realize when they make that move, you're uprooting your kids from a lot of their friends that they've gone to elementary school, junior high, and maybe their early years of high school. You're also you know, you may be going from a good program to what you consider a great program, but you may go to that program and things may not work out the way you think. You may not be the star of that team. You may be a nice player or a complimentary player, but you may not be the star of that team if you would have maybe stayed at your original high school. So, you know, I think the grass isn't always greener, and I think people need to be aware of that. And if they're going to toy with making a change, they really need to do their due diligence and make sure when they do make that move, if they make that move, it definitely is going to work out, hopefully, in the long term. Because I've seen a lot of these things go really awry, because guys think, their parents think they're going to be stars going to a school that has a lot of talent. It doesn't work out. Then they're bitter, and those kids' careers over. Where if they'd have stayed where they originally were, they could maybe be showcased a little bit more and get a little bit more notoriety around town.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Coach, but a lot of, I think, misconception happens in the sense where parents and the kids themselves and coaches feel like you have to be at a certain place in order to be discovered, to get to the next level, etc. And I think that that is a misconception, because I have always found in the long run that if you can play whatever sport it is you're playing, wherever you're playing it, if you can play, somebody will find you and they'll get your scholarship and you'll get your chance to go play at the next level and you'll get your opportunity. Just go play the best you can wherever you can. And I, that falls on deaf ears now, because everybody wants to go to certain places, but it's still the truth, isn't it?
Well, I've always been a believer in that. And I'll also tell you this. You know, football is a little bit different than the other sports, because all the other sports now, it doesn't matter whether we're talking volleyball, lacrosse, baseball, basketball, whatever. They all have club sports. And quite frankly, the way the NCAA regulates the rules, where you can only have X amount of times to evaluate players, coaches are going to go to these big tournaments where they can see a kid play two or three times in one day, or maybe four or five times over a two-day period, and they only get charged for 2 days. They come to a high school baseball game, that counts as a day of recruiting, and they're only seeing the kid maybe get three at-bats, and who knows, maybe that kid ends up getting hit by a pitch, walks, so they've only seen him bat one time, so that hurts. But in football, you know, you don't have club sports, and, you know, I think that with football, you go to a lot of these camps now, these summer camps. There's a lot of 7-on-7, I think, where guys are getting spotted. But more than anything else, outside of football, the scholarships nowadays pretty much come out of club sports, and that's good and bad. And I'll tell you why, because I think the high school coaches, they don't have as much say with the players as they once did. It seems like these club coaches have a lot more say, and quite frankly, there are a lot of really, really good club coaches in the variety of different sports, but there's also a lot of guys and gals out there coaching. That's all they're doing right now, and that's not bad, as long as they're still putting the best interest of the player at heart. That's got to be number one. It can't be about how much money you put in your pocket.
Yeah, I wish more people cared about the kids than cared about, you know, we're living vicariously through them. I think that's one of the issues. But Coach John Quintero, it's Friday High School Spotlight. We appreciate you joining us as always, Coach. I know you'll be back on the air tomorrow with a little Padre pregame. By the way, I have the early edge on you this year. I'm 5-1 on pre- and post games. I don't know what your record is, but I've been performing very at a very high rate on the pre and post games so far this year.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. You do a great job. I enjoy listening to you. I listened to you last night on my way to KUSI, and you know, I'll try to get a few more in that left column rather than the right column going forward.
We'll see you tomorrow, Coach, with a pregame show prior to tomorrow's game. Thanks, as always. We'll catch up to you soon. The Coach John Quintero, brought to you by Lolita's Mexican Restaurant, serving Mexican food the best in San Diego since 1984.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.